Welcome back to part two of episode one.
Yeah, like, I was going to ask you guys, like, is there a moment where you, not a moment per se, but can you kind of try and, like, pinpoint where you transitioned from kind of being, like, uncomfortable with yourself or, like, unsure about yourself? If you ever felt that way, not everyone does, but, and, like, what kind of change shifted your mindset to being, like, who you are today? Because you both are very, like, you seem very comfortable with yourselves and, you know.
Pause. On the ground here, we got a big bag of McDelivery. I did not know that McDonald's delivered.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, they do now. God.
That's pretty awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the future is here.
Yes, Uber Eats, guys. Sponsored by Uber Eats. No, I'm just kidding, I'm not. But Uber Eats, if you want to hit me up for a sponsorship, I'm done.
Well, I would say, like, that's very interesting, because, like, my journey, like, to be honest, I hated myself for a very long time, for a good, like, I'm sure, like, a lot of it has to do with childhood, you know, like, parents saying, oh, you're not good enough, and it's, like, work harder. Anyways, and then it kind of just gathered up into, like, after high school. And just hated myself, really depressed, didn't know who I was, and really insecure. And then I'm not sure if there was, like, a moment, but maybe just, like, a gradual, like, I think it was just, like, a decision. Mm-hmm. It was, I had to decide, is this how I want my life to be like, or else I have to change something. And I think I just, something clicked, and I just decided to change my perspective on myself.
Right.
And, I mean, that really worked out quite nicely. Because, I mean, I feel like I've always had the help of, like, my positivity.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it wasn't always, you know, butterflies and bees.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just a decision. You just have to decide, like, just to be happy, you know, and change your perspective or be open to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, open your heart and open your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, literally, like, opportunities will come to you and you'll start noticing, like, in The Alchemist, they talk about noticing omens.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, not like the movie The Omen, that's a really scary movie. not that kind of omen, but the good kind of omens. And you just, like, notice, I guess, like, the blessings in your life, and then just be more grateful. And then just, you'll start noticing just great things. Because the world wants you to have a great life, to be happy. You just have to, you know, notice it and be grateful and live with love.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, like, you're probably one of the most positive, open, like, loving people I've ever met. Yeah. And I've met a lot of people. So it's interesting that you say that, because it just shows that, like, you can go from feeling that way about yourself to feeling how you feel now.
100%. And it's all, you know. And I think it's a lot easier to be negative than positive, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, scientifically proven. But it's, you know, it's really worth it, guys. Like, just, and it's hard because it's, like, up to you, right? But people don't want to take that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
They want to say, like, oh, you know, my job is this, school's really hard, and it's, you know, it's all really difficult, and that's totally okay, but I don't know, how long do you want to, like, live in that, right?
Yeah.
So you have to take responsibility for your own happiness and be like, you know what? I am being negative. I am being, you know, I need to change something. And that's where, you know, the internal stuff comes from. You gotta, I mean, you have to look into yourself and yeah, make that decision to change something, because... And you have to want to change as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's definitely, like, years and years of just noticing that about yourself. And it's work.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, great answer, though.
So I really love talking about this
no.
kind
no,
of
No, I show, love it. So. Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah.
It's a lot to get out, right? You can't just put it in a sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's an incredible feeling when you can do that for yourself, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's just like, and, you know, feel your feelings. If you feel bad, you can feel it. But, like, you know, don't let it, you know, envelop you. Don't let it, you know. And if it happens, that's totally fine. Just, you know, eventually you got to dig yourself out of the hole that you dug yourself in. And, you know, it's difficult, but it can be done, you know?
Yeah.
Life is really beautiful.
I strongly agree. I guess I'll go. Was that the tail end of your...
Go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt you, but... No. So back to Jade's question on a moment that you realize you changed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact question, but I've attributed this a lot in my life. In university, I was a member of a...
I love this story.
Yeah, I was a member of a club, Formula SAE. You design, build, and then eventually race a smaller version of a Formula One-style race car.
Cool.
And just my roommate in second year of university, he was electrical team lead, and he brought me on, or he talked me into it, I guess, if you will. And I joined, and it wasn't too exciting or anything like that. And then flash forward to the following summer, and I was asked to be the electrical team lead. And if... anybody who knows me knows I really don't care about cars that much, yet somehow I've now found myself as the electrical team lead for this club. So, started working. This was the year we were going to design, finalize the design, build, and then bring the very first ever vehicle from UBCO to a race in Lincoln, Nebraska. And when it's the first vehicle, I mean, imagine how the very first automobile turned out, right? It was probably a mess. And so we had a lot of work ahead of us, and it was so much effort and grinding and working hard, and I won't go through the details of like how we actually got the vehicle there, but it was insane. I'm talking like we actually fried our computer like two nights before the test or before we had to leave, and I stayed up all night along with the other guys on the team. Shout out to you all. We wired this race car, we got it going, got it back ready, drove it like 2,500 kilometers in 2 days, got it to Nebraska, raced it a little bit. It worked out. It didn't blow anybody out of the water. It almost blew itself out of the water, but it worked, right? We magically created this race car. And by the end of it, I knew that I was a different person. And there was a great photo that summarizes it. I just reached the end of my goals and requirements and obligations for this, and then it was just time to enjoy the experience. And I think that that's probably one of the most, by the way, back, I was like scared shitless this whole time, right? Like, I don't like cars. Not to say I don't like cars, but I didn't know a lot about them, and it wasn't my dream or anything. I just found myself randomly involved and like super deep, obviously. I just traveled 2,500 kilometers with this. So, and I think some of the most authentic times you see people nowadays are when they're really scared, like when they're nervous about doing something, right?
That's a very
personal moment and a very
vulnerable.
Open, vulnerable. You really do get to see the inside of that. What makes them who they are, and so I was you know, obviously quite scared.
Yeah.
And that experience was the most rewarding I've had in my life, probably. I was definitely changed as a person after that. And one thing that I've noticed afterwards is that going out and having experiences that scare you are a great way to remind yourself who you are and remind yourself of the joys in life and things that Jenny was talking about, where it's difficult to love yourself, but if you go out and do things that scare you and achieve them, it helps you be proud of yourself. It helps you, you know, get to the other side of something that was so intense and tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I find that going out and doing things that make you scared and nervous are one of the best possible ways you can figure out who you are and to be happy with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And a great example of this, if anyone's ever seen me dance, it's pretty comical, I think.
Same dude, same. Yeah, so, like,
by no way am I meant to be on any stage ever or to ever publicly display my moves apart from, you know, bumping and grinding in a club or something like that. Well, flashback, a little over a month now, showed up to volunteer for Tony Robbins' event.
Nice.
And the night before, we were going through like the volunteer orientation, and some lady's like, we need a guy to dance on stage. And before that, Jenny had just talked, we are good dancers. She said we. Now, Jenny's a good dancer, but she used the group term as opposed to I. And so when she needed a guy, she looked at me and pointed at me. And so I was like, okay, I guess so. I can't just say no. So the next morning, I danced in front of 4,000 people.
That's insane.
Scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Good for you, though. But
by the end of that day, it was an amazing feeling. And it was something that I'd never done before. And I really I felt amazing about myself, about life after that, right? It was a good feeling.
Nice.
And it was just something that scared me. So finding moments that make you be authentically who you are is, I think, important to enjoying yourself and loving yourself. And a great way to do that is to find something that scares you and then go do that, because that's definitely a very personal thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really, really love the point about authentically yourself. If you can be authentically yourself, be yourself completely, it also allows other people to feel comfortable to be themselves.
Totally.
Because I feel like a lot of times in social situations, it's like you maybe say a comment in a group and then everyone's like, and then they don't want to, and then they don't open up and they close up and they tense up, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like a lot of people feel very comfortable with me, just because I'm, you know, I am trying to be fully myself and whoever that is. And
yeah.
I'm just going to be, and I'm still learning.
But I think like one of the great qualities about, well, both of you have noticed, like, I don't really know Kyle too well. Like, I know him through Jenny, just FYI. But like from the times I've seen you, like, you both are on the same page. And like when someone's talking to you guys, you like really listen, you know, you take in what they're saying. I feel like a lot of people lack that nowadays. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily an age thing, but like I do find that older people do tend to listen better than younger people, but for the reasoning doesn't matter. But like, you know, it's just, it seems more and more rare to come across people who really pay attention when someone's talking to them,
because people always want to say, they're always thinking about like what they're thinking,
yeah,
what they're gonna say next. Mm-hmm. And then so then they're not really listening.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a skill that you kind of have to develop nowadays.
Yeah.
It doesn't come easily.
It's a discipline thing. Like, you don't let yourself already be thinking about
the
Or like, you, I kind of like, if you say something and it sparks something that I'm thinking about, yeah, it's like stored. I'm like, okay, yeah, on standby. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm still listening to you, and then it's like sometimes I forget, but it's like, you know, there, and then I'll bring it up once you're, you know, done with your thought. But it seems to be like a major problem.
I feel like you're quite amazing at that.
Okay. You're
quite amazing at listening.
Well, thank you. I try.
Really,
I think it's like you make more effort when it's something that bothers you, you know? Like,
yeah,
I hate being cut off and stuff. Like, I had friends in high school that would like, they would just cut me off and like talk, and mm-hmm, then it was like they didn't give a shit that I didn't finish my thought. And like, it was very like kind of like mentally abusive, like, from with my friends. I mean, like, when people do that, I know they don't intentionally mean to like do it, but with them, I feel like they low-key kind of were.
Yeah.
But that's another story. But I just kind of, that's something that bothers me. So like when someone's talking to me, I really try to like not be on my phone, fully listen to them, especially like when they're opening up to you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be like checking like my message, like, that's not important right now, that can wait. If it's really important, someone will phone me, and maybe I won't answer, but they'll phone again if it's like an emergency, you know. But it doesn't take much to just like put everything aside and just be like ears for someone.
Exactly. And that's like such an important thing to do for somebody, because it takes a lot to be vulnerable, especially nowadays. Nobody wants to be vulnerable. It's really difficult for people to like express their feelings.
Yeah.
I think people think that to be strong, to be a strong person, you gotta be tough, you know, you gotta, you know, don't cry, don't show emotion, and because that's like too sensitive, that's being weak, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I think the strongest people are the ones that can feel so much mm-hmm. and still, you know, be positive about the world and still, you know, love and be loved and
yeah,
you know, yeah, opening yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
Even on that, like your feelings are, it's funny to think, sometimes I'll be the scientist here.
Mm-hmm.
People live in the world now and you know, you're born into this world with iPhones and iPods and that's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That's only been life for like 0.001% of life,
right? Yeah.
It's really quite a new thing. And people often forget that, like, we're all still primates out here that are just faking this, this new
yeah,
world. Right? We're all
like actually.
And you know, 1,000 years ago, we were beating each other to death and trying to take lands. And, like, you know, what a different time that it's been, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What an adjustment we have to make into this mm-hmm. new life.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, often people think a little too hard and don't trust their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that I think trusting your feelings is, and your gut feel on things and stuff like that is still very applicable to this day, even with all the new different things. And that's what you would do in the past, right? I mean, you think the caveman was thinking about, you know, the day-to-day life and, oh, you know, why is my girl acting this way in the cave and stuff? You know, he was acting on autopilot, right? He was just trusting his gut and whatever, you know, oh, yeah, do this. And that was it, right? And that's not to say you shouldn't think about things, because that's also dumb. But, you know, even in today's day and age where we have all this new technology and we're not quite used to it, you can still always trust your gut feeling. It's still very applicable to this day. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people follow their minds a little too much and not their gut feeling and their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Listening. So... I had a little piece of mint.
Oh no! Those fisherman's friends are brutal, man. I can chop that out if you want.
No, that's okay. Keep it in. This is a little small piece too. Okay. So like going back to the listening, it's like a skill to develop sort of good listening
mm-hmm.
habits or skills and abilities.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you have to develop being able to listen to your gut feeling, listen to your heart,
yeah.
You know, listen to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to chime that in. But
yeah, no, it's great.
I'll bring it in even more personal level. So me and Jenny are in a relatively new relationship, and I find myself sometimes thinking a little too hard. And it's funny because I've had moments where I've stepped back and been like, okay, well, what do I want in this situation? And maybe we're lying in bed and I'm like, oh, I just really want to roll over and grab her. So I roll over. But the whole time I was too busy thinking about things to feel that way. And when I actually thought about what my personal self wanted as opposed to what I was thinking I wanted or anything like that, yeah, I just wanted to roll over and grab her and tell her I love her or give her a kiss or something like that.
Aww.
And
so cute.
Oh
my
God. Sorry for making it weird. Anyway.
So there's just an example of in day-to-day life where I'm thinking a little too hard and when I stopped thinking, I realized what I wanted and then went and got it.
Yeah.
Got a nice cuddle.
So are you saying that you like, you think like, oh, I want to like roll over and like give her a kiss and whatnot. You think about it too much instead of just like doing it instinctively. Is that what you mean?
Well, no, like I'm thinking like, you know, is she going to want my hug? I'm pretty sure Jenny wants one. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But thinking about other things or distracting yourself with other things and like thinking about your problems and stuff like that and
right.
And other things in life. And then if you just stop and listen to yourself, you might be on a completely different, you know, what you feel and what you want right now is
mm-hmm.
probably totally different than what you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like our, and that's like with psychology in our minds, it's so powerful. It's like,
yeah,
I mean, we can just be in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
In kind of a negative way, because it's a lot easier to be negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you're just like overthinking everything, and it's really easy to like tell yourself stories of what you think reality is.
Yep.
Rather than what reality actually is.
Yeah.
And that's why I think perspective is really important.
Yeah.
And
it's so true. Yeah. Sorry for cutting you off. Continue your thought.
No. I lost my thought. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, okay. I agree, though, with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to just fill in the gap. I can never remember the proper quote, but there was. I read something once where it's, you're nearly struck by a vehicle. Are you unlucky that you nearly got hit by a vehicle, or are you lucky that the vehicle missed you, right? You can walk out of that with a very negative view of what happened, or a very positive view. You can be grateful for life or very angry and hate streets now and hide in your partner.
That's so true.
You can take it two ways. And that's not just about car crashes, right? That can be about anything in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's like a book that I read by Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, I really need to stop like starting to quote things and then forgetting like the name of stuff. So let me just check what the title is. But it honestly, it's about negative thinking, and it really just changed my perspective because I didn't realize that I thought so negatively about a lot of situations. It could be super minor. But the thought was there and it was negative. And once I read it, I was like, oh yeah, like it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just human conditioning. So you just have to like try and get yourself out of that.
Yeah. So he says like, you know, you grow up and say if you're constantly told as a child that you're not good enough or whatever it is, or like your peers are like constantly telling you a certain thing. You're kind of trained to think that way. And so like right now I'm 23 years of thinking that way. It's going to take a long time to undo that pattern, you know?
Exactly.
And I thought that was really interesting because it's like you lose a lot of patience with yourself, but really it's like, that's a long time to be alive and like thinking the same way.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a while to unravel all that stuff and to think a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the book is Your Erroneous Zones. By Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Your mom loves him.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
I assume she told you about that. just to go on that, why not? So I told you that I wanted to be brilliant at neurology. And your mind isn't like a magical ball of magic that's happening, right? Like there are hardwired neurons that path through your mind and different areas of your brain fire an electrical signal. And that allows the interconnection of places that are responsible for different feelings, different thoughts. It's all a very systematic thing. And it's the most brilliant system on the planet that we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we also don't really know a lot about it, or we aren't fully aware of everything. But it is, in fact, when you feel things, a hardwired happening in your brain that causes all of this to happen, right? And now you can imagine why it's so difficult to change that, right? I mean, you have hardwired paths that, you know, when this thing happens, I feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right? So you have to... But it's still magical that you can override that and still force yourself to think differently and feel differently, right? Like, it's not like it's impossible.
Bam.
It just takes the thought and the willpower to override that hardwired path. And you can magically do it. And then one day, there won't be that path anymore.
That's so interesting.
Dang.
Like, boom, just like that. And I also love what you said about stepping into something that scares you. Like that,
it's a form of hardwiring.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. You can.
No. That was it.
Okay.
Well, yeah. It's just bears are scary. Maybe you know.
Yeah.
You have that thought, and that's a very human thought, and that you should probably keep that one honestly. But
yeah.
It is a hardwired, you know, one-to-one connection. This.
Totally. And I think like no matter what, I mean, if you run into a bear, that could be a different story, but like if it's something like dancing on stage or whatever, even if it goes so badly, like I've had so many freaking embarrassing moments, like I can't even count them on like both hands, like there's just way too many. But it's like, again, how you said you made a decision one day to change the way you thought. If something embarrassing happened to me, I would think about it for so long, like, you know, a year later, I'm still thinking about how I, like, did something fucking stupid in front of my class.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I thought, you know, it'd be like, oh my God. But it's like, someone said to me, I think it might have been a teacher, sorry for not remembering who said it, but they were basically talking about, like, presenting in front of the class. And they were like, you know what, even if you mess up, just remember that like everyone will go home and the next day they're not thinking about it. The only person thinking about it will be you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, especially, you know, I mean, even if you're like the last person to go, like they're going to move on to thinking about something else as soon mm-hmm. as they leave that class, but you think that they're thinking mm-hmm. about your presentation for, like, you know?
Yeah. And you're doing that to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's like, even if they are, who cares? Mm-hmm. And that really shifted my perspective because I was so nervous at presenting in front of, like, class because I had such a thick accent too. And, like, people would really pay attention when I talked because they thought it was, like, an amusing accent to listen to or whatever, which is, like, fine. But I just was so self-conscious that I'm like, oh, I know they're paying attention. And then you're, like, stuttering and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was just, yeah, like, after that, I was like, yeah, you know what? Who cares? I kind of let it go.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're always fine after is what. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good because, like, and it's like, it all starts with, like, noticing. It's, you gotta, that's the start of it. It's like, notice, you know, the faults or whatever. And then, like, notice when you're feeling it or when you're experiencing it. And then just like that tiny little gradual changes that you can make within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, for example, like, I was super, like, body insecure, and that's, like, from, like, childhood. Like, I was always told, like, you know, something was always something wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, really developed into my 20s, and I was super insecure about my body, and I would always let that control my mood, of the day, like, and it was just so bad and so negative and so bad for me that just, like, one day I decided, you know what, like, F that, like, mm-hmm. what's the point of that? Like, I'm not being fully happy because what, I think I'm fat or something.
Yeah.
And so I just decided, okay, I'm gonna do a day where I don't think about me feeling gross about my physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And I would catch myself whenever I thought something negative about my body. And then I'd, you know, maybe tally it up. And I was like, that's a lot of times. And I was, like, really shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And then so the next day, I remember whenever... And it's something that you can do. It's called thought stopping. And I remember my professor, Susan, telling me about this. But it's called thought stopping. And it's you notice the thought. And, you know, if you want to feel it and just let yourself feel it or whatever, but then let it go and then just stop that thought immediately in its tracks. Yeah. Just like if you think, oh, I'm, you know, feeling really bloated or feeling really gross, like just stop that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then search for something that you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think gratitude is something that you can do for yourself just to, like, make a little change. Because, like, in a chemical way, like, even searching for gratitude, even searching for it, you don't have to, like, find something, but even searching for it actually, like, lifts you up
mm-hmm.
chemically.
Yeah, totally.
And if you just keep doing that, you know, it becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Like how negative things become habit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, what kind of habits do you want?
Yeah, no, it's so true. You have to make that choice for yourself.
Yeah.
And I saw something recently, it was just one of those, like, random kind of memes where it's just, like, text on a white background mm-hmm. that someone shared on their Instagram story.
Yeah.
And it said, instead of waking up and thinking, I have to do this, say I get to do this.
Mm, yeah.
So stop taking, like, your tasks for the day and making them stress mm-hmm. when you could make them something positive.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's so true.
Yeah.
Like, I get to walk my dog instead of being like, I have to walk my dog. Because, you know, it just sounds automatically, like, yeah. more positive saying, like, I get to walk my dog.
Yeah,
because exactly. One day your dog won't be there anymore. Or, like, you might not be able to walk, like, yeah. yourself. Like, you never know what can happen. So yeah. it's like, you really just have to, like, enjoy the really small things, which I think a lot of people don't do nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really, really good point.
Yeah, and that's just a small, subtle way of associating good things to things, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's just continually saying, I love chips, I love walking my dog,
mm-hmm.
and developing that pattern of thought
yeah. instead of
another one, a different opposite one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in high school, or, well, it was kind of the tail end of high school and then going into my first year of university, which I did not have a great time because I did not like where I lived. No offense, Saskatchewan, but I just, like, was not enjoying, like, I wasn't enjoying so much of my life. And it was me thinking negatively, yes, but but also like the way I survived it was just taking like the tiny things and being like looking forward to that. Like I would be like, I'm gonna go get like a Starbucks Frappuccino, and that's like what I was looking forward to. And it's like so random, but it actually helped me be like get like through my day when I was like struggling. Like I'd be like, I can go get like a Frappuccino, and like I would just be happy for the moment that I like had that, and then, you know, move on to the next thing. I just think life is a series of looking forward to stuff, big and small, but a lot of people look forward to really big things and not small things. And then when it takes forever to get to that big goal, they start getting depressed, or they start, you know, feeling down about the fact that they haven't reached it yet in like a certain time frame that they feel they should be getting to that point, like whether it's having kids or a certain career goal. And yeah, it's like they were kind of like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's like you can just like break down your what you're looking forward to into smaller things, and you can still have those big things.
It's all about the journey and the process. It's not really about just the end goal. And like, if you can't enjoy the journey to get to your goal, I don't know, there's just something off there.
Totally.
Right? Because it's, you know, everyone successful, they didn't just get there. You went through a ton of stuff. And if they didn't go through what they went through, then they wouldn't be the same person. And they wouldn't have what they have. Yeah.
Which is why The Alchemist is such a great book to read. It's like so simple, but like when you read it, you're like, oh.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It blew my mind. I was like, I can't believe I've had this book for probably a good four years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was just kind of, you know, just around. And then I finally read it, and it was, but it was meant to be that I wrote it, that I read it.
Just in time.
You know, the irony is I bought that book, brought it to work. So it was on like a film set. And I think I'd only been reading it for like a day or two. I left my book in like the background holding, and someone stole my dang book. So that? Someone stole The Alchemist. And I was like, what? And I got so angry. And I was trying to like channel Eckhart Tolle to like calm down.
Yeah.
But I just like bothered me so much, because like books are like my life. Like I've always been a reader and stuff. Like I always have a book on me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the heck? But then I was like, you know what? I hope they actually read the book.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I hope they read it.
And if you haven't, then I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, if you're listening right now, I hope your life's much better. And you're not stealing books anymore.
Yeah. Because what a book to steal, man, honestly. Yeah. And you know, it's funny because the set I was on when that happened, it was a movie that's based off of a book, like a completely separate book. Mm-hmm. But when I was taking my garbage down to like the garbage area in my building, a copy of that book for that movie where my book was stolen was in the area where it's like a free-for-all, like someone will put something there and you can take it if you want. And I was like, this is so weird. Like it was like a weird kind of, I just felt like it was a weird sign, like, you know what, something got taken from you, but like here's something in return. It just happened to be the same like movie set where my book was stolen. So I was like, that's weird. I don't know,
I love that. I love those kinds of things.
Yeah, like weird coincidences. I live for those.
There's a reason.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So we've talked about cell phones, we've talked about The Alchemist, we've talked about the balance. Is there, what do we have on our list to talk about today?
It's like, so how do you deal with just being bombarded by such negative news?
That's a good one.
Not as we listen to it all the time. Facebook is now more or less a news site, and so is Twitter, and everything. It seems like a lot of outlets have become, or a lot of social media sites have become outlets for news.
Yeah.
And you notice a lot of the time in news, I mean, it's mostly, they'll have the heartwarming story in there, but if you watch the nightly news, it'll be, you know, eight negative events and one positive.
This person got murdered.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's difficult to sit there and listen to all that and still have hope in humanity and faith and whatever else. It's not so easy, but how do you deal with that? How do you... listen to bad things all the time and listen to the negative things all the time, but still somehow, you know, not avoid it, but but don't let it affect you in such a bad way.
Honestly, it's hope. Honestly, I think it's hope. For me, it's hope. Mm-hmm. And having a hope for humanity and just seeing all the good that there is, you know. And it's not saying that, you know, naive to all like the bad stuff, but like there's like an interview with Leonardo DiCaprio in the Flood.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking to
It was the UN. I think he was at the UN.
No. He was talking to an astronaut. Do you remember that scene?
Oh yeah, the astronaut who had cancer. He was gonna pass away for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But he so he was, you know, talking and the astronaut, I forgot his name, but he was just talking about how it's just so incredible seeing Earth, you know, from outer space, and how it's just we're actually just like this ball.
Yeah.
And he developed cancer, and he said he was going to pass away quite soon.
Pierre Sellers?
Was that him?
NASA climate, yeah. Featured in
the Flood. Yeah. And he still had, like, a lot of hope for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Leonardo DiCaprio was like, yeah, like, because he studied the environment for, like, such a long time, and he's like, I'm finding it very difficult to, just from what I'm seeing, just like have faith in humanity and stuff. And I don't know where hope comes from, but I don't know. I think that really helps.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, if you're like, oh, can't do anything about it. I mean, I don't know. That just doesn't really make sense. You know, there's always, you know, something that you can do, I feel.
Yeah. I think like people forget that although there are so many people on this planet, you know, we feel very small, and we are in a lot of ways, but I think people forget the impact that one person can have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, for hope, other people give me hope. So, like, there could be a negative person, but then there could be a good person, you know? Like, when I was a cashier, like, there'd be a shitty person who just comes in and it, like, would completely just ruin your mood if you're in a good mood. But then, like, a few customers later, it'd be like the nicest person ever, you know? So that person would give me hope, because it's like, why do you have to be like that? And then someone comes along and they're just like this ray of sunshine, and it's like, oh, there's still people like that. And then it gives me hope instead of going home and being like, well, fuck, like, now my mood's ruined because everyone's an asshole. You know, it just takes one nice person to like kind of undo that. And that's also like thinking negatively too, because I really let people affect my mood. But yeah.
And one more thing, we brought up space. I said I wanted to be an astronaut, so I always love space. And one of the most phenomenal, I think, ways to put your whole life and everything in perspective, if you've ever heard of the pale blue dot from Carl Sagan, it was written after a photograph was taken. This photograph was taken by Voyager 1. It's a space probe that's now traveling out into the space outside of our solar system, one of only two objects to ever do that, the other being Voyager 2. And the Voyager missions were intended to understand more about our planet. And it just magically happened that all the planets aligned in the perfect way that with our propulsion technologies, we could send this probe on this magical ping-pong ride through our solar system and hit every planet. We could send these two probes. So that's what we did. We sent these two probes. And these probes traveled. They picked up brand new photos, all the coolest photos of Jupiter and Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. I don't know if they hit Pluto or not. They all were brand new photos that gave us insights into the planets. And after they traveled through and flew through the solar system and took all these amazing photos, they were like, well, what do we do now? And they decided to turn Voyager 1 around and try and take a photo of Earth. Now, this is exclusively a voice podcast, so you can't see what I'm looking at right now. But look up the pale blue dot. It's a photo. And in that photo, you see a number of beams of light from the sun. And there's one beam of light that passes over a tiny blue speck in what is otherwise black and a little bit of green and red. And that's Earth. And that's Earth taken from 6 billion kilometers away. Sorry, that's quite different. And if I'm going to I don't think I'll reread the speech. There's no way it would be as good coming from me. But listen to what Carl Sagan says. Look at that. Look again at that thought. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering. Thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and econometric doctrines. Every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. You have to look at the photo to truly grasp the how powerful that is, but it's literally all that has ever been
wow.
in all human society and all life is just a tiny little blue dot in the photo. It's just one pixel, maybe a couple
that's,
of pixels.
Yeah, I was like looking for it, like where?
Yeah, it's quite difficult to see.
And, that's insane.
It's a really good way that if you're ever feeling like life's too much or you're down on yourself or anything mm-hmm. like that, so search out something like that that's puts things in perspective, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's important to realize that your problems aren't all, and they're not grand, and they're not going to be your whole life. And I think it's a really mm-hmm. good way to put that in perspective, just to look at everything that ever was in one photo, and it's just one pixel.
Yeah, no, totally.
I forget where that started, but we were talking about, what were we talking about?
We're talking about hope. Yeah, hope and the news.
Yeah, and the news. So just remember that all these problems, they're all captured in that photograph, in that one pixel,
mm-hmm.
and that even with how bad things feel in society, almost universally everywhere in the world, this is the single best time to be alive, and that the quality of life is the best. At no time in human history has things been as good as they are now. Even if it feels that it's bad, mm-hmm. it's still the best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you just kind of, it's like, where will we be next? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I never expected to ever see like a leader that of America that was black. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. And then didn't expect Donald Trump either.
Yeah.
You know, looking back, it's like, I didn't realize life could go there.
Yeah.
And that's one kind of positive thing and one negative thing. But you know, it's like, there's just a kind of excitement in life.
Life is so exciting.
Yeah.
It's so grand in its own way.
Yeah.
And it's like to, you know, be sad, you know, or I don't know, just to like not let yourself live fully in mm-hmm. life. That's just, you know, so sad because life would love to have you in it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, totally. And yeah, I just think like you have way more of an impact on the planet than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the smallest thing ever. But like, there are people who I still remember, like what I said about being a cashier, like they're really nice people. Like I still remember some of them because
yeah.
they made an impact on me. And it's like, they might be thinking that they didn't make an impact on anyone because it was maybe seemed insignificant to them or
yeah.
like that's just part of their everyday life. But it's like, you don't know like what impact you have on another person.
Yeah.
And like, no matter when you leave the planet, you still made that mark. Even if you don't have to be freaking like turn into a superstar.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
No, there's like great things with ordinary lives. And yeah, I just think people have to remember that. And
there is greatness in ordinary,
mm-hmm.
in ordinary people. And yeah.
Yeah.
What about like a, like you go to the grocery store and you buy a banana. What about that? So, where did that banana come from?
That's great.
Yeah, it wasn't that little thing of bananas was not grown on that rack in the grocery store. And it's, you know, there's
but one day it might. I'm just kidding.
Next podcast.
Yeah.
Brainstorming futuristic ideas. Grocery stores where everything is live.
Growing right there just falls off.
Oh gosh. Anyways.
I forget my point. Oh yeah. So that banana did not grow there. Maybe one day it does, but for now it doesn't. And you know, maybe it's a little ripe or not ripe. And that banana did not grow in your town, probably. Or in your country, probably. If you're living in Canada, if you're listening mm-hmm. from Canada. Probably came from, I don't know where bananas come from, Hawaii, South America.
Tons of places.
Yeah. Yeah,
but not here. Mm-hmm. And somebody told and worked hard in that field and then picked that banana, put it in a crate, and that crate got on a plane or got on a boat and traveled the world, then landed, then got in a truck, came all the way to your grocery store, and then some human said, yeah, these are good bananas, let's put them out. And then they put them out. Mm-hmm. The number of people that worked to bring that banana to you is incredible. Like, what an amazing mm-hmm. thought.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I have a banana every morning. Well, I try to.
And I really like this quote from somebody, and I don't remember where I got it, but it's like, if you don't find awe in something in your everyday life, then you got to change your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like, you can, like, go on the same bus every day, go to the same job every day, kind of do the same sort of thing every day. And, you know, that's a lot of people in the world right now, just like kind of like, you know, living kind of regularly, which is fine, but just try and find awe in something. And because every day is wonderful, it's a gift. Anyways, I don't know.
No, you're right.
No, somebody said that.
Yeah, if you don't find awe in day-to-day life, then maybe just change your perspective, look a little harder. Louis C.K., I know he was involved in some poor decisions that he made in his life.
Yeah.
Glossing over that, or just, you know, one thing he said, he was talking about cell phones, I think, and
mm-hmm.
and how people get bored with cell phones, and they get angry at them, and they, you know, think about the magic that's currently sitting in your hand. Like, you know, you press a few buttons on this screen, which is not a natural occurrence whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And then it beams a signal to the sky or to some tower somewhere. And then it beams another signal somewhere. And then you're talking to somebody in real time. Whoa. You know, and no one thinks about it. It's just part of life now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do stop and take that in perspective, and that's, it doesn't have to be a cell phone to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just finding little things to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like you were saying.
Little things.
Yeah. No, it's so true. I think, curiosity is always kind of driven everything I've done. Like, if it's like, oh, a cell phone, or I don't know, like, you could literally pick anything and then just think, like, how did that get made? Like, how is that made? Like, there's that show, like, how it's made, or yeah, how it's such a creative title, but, you know, self-explanatory. And I used to love watching that, and it would be like ketchup or
mm-hmm.
like, you know, just such random stuff. Yeah, it's so good. And it was always interesting because it's like, oh, yeah, that's how they make that. Mm-hmm. And like a banana, it's like, you know, it's just there every single time you go to the store. Bananas are there for the most part. And it's like no one stops to be like, how did that get there? It's just there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think like a lot of people lack the curiosity to like think further into things.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know.
And even it doesn't have to be a banana. It could be how you feel, maybe, instead of a banana. Like, you know, you're sitting there feeling negative about something. Maybe you should question why. Maybe you should ask why you have that feeling right now.
Yeah.
And look a little deeper.
That's how I've evolved as a person. I would say mm-hmm. I always, you know, question, like, what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's always helped me throughout my life. Yeah.
It's interesting to see. Jenny usually works with a notebook when she's thinking hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool to see her. You can almost see her think. And that's really neat. And she's found a way that really works for her to work through thoughts and ideas and everything else, right? I mean, it's just, it's your strategy of thinking.
Is that like kind of like journaling or?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's journaling, but it's also brainstorming, like you.
Mm.
When I picture a journal, I think of like, you know, line by line. Jenny's like, you know, up here, and it goes in a circle, and it's
nice.
It's really all over the place. Yeah.
It's almost hard to follow when you're just trying to read it as an outside observer, of course.
Right. That's so interesting. Yeah. It's funny because I've known Jenny for like a few years, and that's something that I didn't know. Because it's like, you know, you never know the, like, certain things about people until you're in a situation where you would see that. Like, if say if we were roommates, I probably would have noticed that. But you know, it's like, it's so interesting. Like learning.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring my notebook in one day.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Honestly, like, you open it up and it I always say, like, I know it looks like I'm kind of like a crazy person, but it all makes sense.
Yeah, if it makes sense to you, that's all that matters.
Yeah. You know, if you started writing this on walls, you'd probably be a crazy person. Yeah. Good thing you got a note.
Yeah.
Or maybe if I start writing it on walls, it'll be art. Oh. Like, I can call it art.
You could be crazy or art. What do you
mean?
All about perspective.
It's all about perspective.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Well, my name's Kyle Jensen. I've been the male voice on this podcast. Thank you all very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. I don't do much for social media. I have an Instagram account where I post little photos of hikes and stuff like that, but not much else. So thanks for listening. Hopefully I didn't sound too crazy.
And I'm Jenny. And I mean, I guess you could follow me on my social media. I don't do a lot. I don't even remember my social media by heart, so... But I don't know, maybe I'll start, like, posting more stuff about, you know, emotions, and I guess that's my passion, so I guess I'll just, you know, start posting stuff about that.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? What is my social media? It's Jenny underscore D Snow.
Nice, okay.
And,
I can put a link in the description. Okay. Yeah.
And thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for being my first guest. I feel so honored to have you here.
We're very honored. Yes,
the honor's been ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I am glad you guys came. You guys are great people. And yeah, so thanks for listening. If you ever have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can also email at imanadultnowwhat@gmail.com. I'd always love to hear from you, and please subscribe and rate on your streaming platform of choice to receive updates of future episodes.